during the 80s, for simplicity, the missionaries were all Methodists, as much as fellowship in Taiwan. In the 90s, I was one of the pastors at the Pittsburgh Chinese Church, up in Pittsburgh. And then in 2000, Lord called me my own ministry, Biblical Foundations for Freedom, which is largely a writing and speaking ministry. I'll be going to Tanzania in March, and I'll be speaking to pastors in two different groups. just wanted to have good friendships with his brothers, but his brothers always had that falseness about him, that superficiality, because they didn't want, they knew what they were going to do. But here Joseph wanted so much friendship, knowing of his love, and he didn't realize it was the only source. They still feared that Joseph would do something wrong when he forgave them many years ago. And that's a principle about freely forgiving. You forgive before they ask. You forgive before they ask. But you say, well, if I forgive, and I know many people have spoken to me, if I forgive them, that means they think they're all okay. Well, notice what Joseph said here. Very interesting in verse 19. He said, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Slide down, please. Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? This is really practical theology. This is Joseph saying, this is not my responsibility. That's something for all of us to learn. It comes from the background of this, that God is the judge, that people are not judges. So God will judge people's sins. When we want to take personal revenge or avenge ourselves to make someone feel bad because they made us feel bad, that is all wrong. That is not something what God wants for us. He says, I will take care of that. Actually, it's a great relief for all of us. I mean, do you struggle with your parents? Do you struggle with your grandparents? Do you struggle with that person and that and that? Well, you don't have to. Because sometimes we don't forgive because we have a misunderstanding, a bad theology in that sense, because we think we have to bring justice. And we never can do that rightly. Our job is just simply forgive. And you say, well, how do you forgive someone for what they did to me? It's simple. So if you, brother and sister right there, you gave me $50. Do you owe me $50? If I gave you $50, do you still owe it back? Do you? If I gave you $50, you want me to give you $50? No, I don't give you. But, you know, if I gave you $50, you would owe it to me, right? Of course. But what if I said, never mind, you keep that $50. You keep that $50. Do they still owe me back? No. Do you see the power of the word? That's what forgiveness is. That's forgiving a debt. But forgiving someone of their sin is using our words. We forgive. And that's power of our word. That's your debt. So the debt comes from this, that we are always obligated to love one another. If we don't love, then we are in debt to the other person. That's where when we forgive, we are actually saying, yes, you did wrong, but I forgive you. And we release that debt between people. Now, still between us and God, you know, if we've done wrong, we haven't loved someone, we weren't kind, we spoke behind someone's back, oh, they'll still be judged and held accountable before God. But for me, I don't have to worry about it. God's going to take care of that. I can be free to forgive. That's what Joseph wanted, freely forgiving. Can you say that with me? Freely forgiving. One more time. Freely forgiving. So in Romans 12:19, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. Mine. Don't you dare steal it. Don't you? Who's out there holding that back? Are you holding back revenge in your heart? You see, you're taking from God what is yours. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. This is where it frees up God's people to love. But what? These are all excuses. Maybe I've gone off the right thought of my mind. But what if I forget? They'll do it again. Did you ever hear that one? There's so many excuses here. This is what's happening. Excuses come easy, but God wants the forgiveness to also come easy. And what we realize is God's care, God's work, then we just let go. So freely forgiving is forgiving people, even if they don't ask. Have you ever been scarred by someone? Have you ever been hurt by someone? Right now in your heart, if someone comes exercising his faith. Did he know this at the beginning? Well, not really. Joseph didn't know what was going to happen. He had that dream, remember, when he was a boy, about the stars bowing down and things. But it didn't tell him what evil would happen. So God gave him extra strength to be able to look forward in faith that somehow God would work it out. But he didn't realize all the evil, because even when Joseph went to Egypt, several times we were given long examples of how Joseph was a hard worker, serving God, and then gets up and, you know, in his place, ruling and helping Potiphar there, and then falsely accused, thrown into jail. So he worked hard, as if, I'll get over this past, and move forward, and yet thrown down again. That we can be fully forgiven. Don't you think God took the worst evil in the world, the sinless, died for the sinful, and used that to bring life and peace to his own? Isn't that the worst sin? Of course. The worst act of treachery? Yes. The worst act of misjustice? Yes. Slide where it says, Joseph placed himself under God's leadership. You see, he allowed God to be sovereign. I don't have to be sovereign. God will work it out. I don't need to work it out. I don't need a time chart. Okay, I'll give this person 2 years. I'll give my wife another 30 seconds. No, nothing like that. You instead say, God, you're in charge. My duty to love. I'll go for it. You need it for good. You can transform this for good. So as we look at the application here, it says, can you accept how God can work through your life, even though it might include you? Can you trust God to somehow take that wherever you are? Remember I said at the beginning, the leftovers, I mean, what do you have? You just take what you have, dedicate it to God, and he'll take it from there. If you gain an advantage over those who wrongly treated you, they say behind my back, what they do over there with ill motives, though they speak kindly to me, it doesn't matter. I have the opportunity to love. And that's what we learn in Luke 6, where he said to forgive our enemies. Now let's go on the next slide. He says, friendly forgiving enables us to focus on the kindness that we need to exercise. So Joseph spoke kindly. He did kind things to them. Instead of focusing on the wrong, we focus compassionately for them. What does he mean? When those who hurt us realize they're always need compassion. They are always in the wrong. They need God's grace and mercy. And God will want to use us, strengthen us, to be able to show kindness to them. I know it's exactly the opposite of what we feel. If you ask what I feel, and now you say, well, where's my knife and dagger? But if you ask, it's true though. The words we say sometimes, isn't it like a knife and a dagger coming out in word form? I need you. Yep. That's why you never say that to your children. You never say it to your spouse. You never say it to your wife. Because Jesus told us to love others. Instead of focusing on the wrong, we're going to passionately think about those, their needs in some way. So how have you practically loved someone that hurt you or offended you? You see, if you really want to be a forgetful forgiver, you've got to go and do something kind. Now, the way you do this is just pause before the Lord after you pray, after you have a quiet time. Lord, I know that person hurt me, but is there anything I can do for them? Just see if the Spirit of God leads you or brings any thought to your mind. Good. And then do it. Do it. Simple as that. And sometimes it might cost you $10,000. Other times it's just prayer. Just pray for them. And that sets you along that path of faith. It reconfirms, I am a man or woman of love. I've committed myself to love. Let Christ love through me. No matter what people do. Isn't that Christ's spirit? It certainly is. It certainly is. Let's go on to D here. D, forgetful forgiving. Forgetful forgiving. From verses 22 to 26, we won't read all of this, but let me summarize it for you. What we find here is Joseph at the end of his life. You realize that. But you can see how much he forgave them by the way he entrusted what was precious to him. Those who hurt everything. Because really our goal in actually loving people is to build up that trust and loving relationship. This goes full round here when you take what's precious to you and say, can you help me do this? They know they hurt you before, but you're asking them, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me in this precious way? And you say, well, what was so precious here to Joseph? For Joseph, his home, his heart was not in Egypt. Oh yes, he was rich, he was powerful, but that was not his home. His home was with his God, Yahweh. His home was his father, Abraham. His home was with Jacob, his dad, who was buried there. His awful name was Israel. You see, he was living by faith. And he said, would you please, you take my coffin. You know, they did to Joseph what they embalmed other pharaohs. That's how they burned him. I'm
by faith Joseph when he was dying made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. His faith, trusting what was precious to him, to another. Now the question we have at the bottom, have you ever forgiven someone to the point that you entrusted yourself into their hands? Now let me go over the summary here. Whoops. Do you remember all 4 points? The first one? Freely forgiven. Number two? Fully forgiving, number three, don't give them the answer yet. Friendly forgiving, number four, forgetful forgiving. Good job. Okay, now you can show me. You let God take revenge, number one, freely forgiving. You forgive before they ask. Because it's God's hand. God will take revenge. I'm just going to love them. But maybe God will show grace in their life. Number two, fully forgiving. You refuse to take revenge of those who hurt you. You know God has a greater way. You're not focused on your hurt. That's what Satan would have you do. Nurture your pain. He has you focused on God's way of transforming us. By faith, yes. And that's what our middle name is, faith. Friendly forgiving. You could have ignored those who hurt you, but instead, you practically love them. It's all in your hands, you see. You can go as far as God leads. That's where love, I mean, not forgiving, bitterness, grudging, begrudging somebody, always is like chains that hold you back from God. Feeling you're alone, full of hatred. Love is an open door leading to other open doors. It's like you open the door and wow, it's light out there. And that's the case. Love is powerful. That will transform you, will transform your church. Forgetful forgiving. Could have nurtured your pain. No, you step over, risking what's precious to you, asking for a favor from those who hurt you. You know, think of it this way. If you have a key for every bitter point in your life, some of us feel like, wow, my keychain is huge. Well, it might be. Maybe there's only three things on it. say them with me one more time? Freely forgiving, fully forgiving, friendly forgiving, forgetful forgiving. I'd like you all to stand as I close the word of prayer. I want you, if God brings anyone to your mind, even while I'm talking and praying, to just say, God, forgive me. Okay? Let's be a congregation free to forgive. Free from Christ to live in power to live out His love. Lord, mighty God, we come to You. And you spent 12 chapters trying to confirm to us that we need to be filled